Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday night, you're listening to Bad Company with Grey Eyes Smith. This show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. We have anthologies available on amazon.com under the same moniker, so So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based off picks from the blanket reading permission list. So I'm going to post the first poem into the group. Here we go. And this is called Because of You, I Can Fly. I mean, sorry, Because of You, I Can, by Forgotten Dreams. Inhale the world around. Smile at the hidden gardens that appear to my cultivating cinnamon eyes. 2. Let the sun drizzle honeyed warmth on chilled porcelain skin. New days blooming. 3. Lap into shadows. See the swirling stars of life and everything in it, in all the dark crevices and home. And I thought that was beautiful. I mean, you know, it was very spiritual and uplifting. You know, it has a great cadence to it as well. Just a fabulous job, Forgotten Dreams. Excellent poem. And I will grab the next poem. Post that into the group. Wrong link. Okay, I'm posting the next poem into the group now. Okay, check the studio real quick here. And it's just me. Okay, this is by Garden Delights, and it's called Orange Sherbet Skies. Orange Sherbet Skies patina the somber lake. Tea time beneath rose-covered pergolas. Rows of upended brooms masquerade as trees, sweeping scattered clouds inside bushed baskets. Grandma will weave cloud threads into clothing, warming grandchildren romping under bare oaks. Ruckus calls from a churning mass of blackbirds, pepper the branches with the living, bobbing leaves. A passing flotilla of feathered frigates creases the pond surface with vigilant eyes, bottoms up for all hungry mallard youths, probing for lush culinary prizes. As a mantle of quiet settles gently, open arms of spruce greet evening's eve's entry. And that was based on a picture prompt. Ending the day with golden mellow thoughts on the glorious lakefront. So yeah, that was a beautiful poem on capturing that wonderful scene of nature in all its glory. And I really liked it. I mean, grandma will weave cloud threads into clothing, warming children romping under bare oaks. Ruckus calls from churning mass of blackbirds pepper the branches with living, bobbing leaves. I mean, you can see all that as you read it. So that was well done. Garden Delights, a fantastic poem. And I will post the next poem into the group as soon as I have it here. Okay, so this one has a SoundCloud. This is by Gerald E. Green. Oh, sorry. There we go. This is called Old Bridge in Northwest Ohio. Here we go.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Old Bridge in Northwest Ohio. Written and read by Gerald Green. I'm pleased my picture caught your eye and made you come and visit me, because these days I stand alone above the river, silently. For 10 decades I've stretched across the wide and muddy Ottawa that swells with spring and autumn rains and peaks each year in winter's thaw. I opened with a big parade that gathered round the governor, who cut the ribbon with a smile and talked about a giant war. My iron girders hold me still, have stood the test that honors yet the engineers who brought them here and handled them with skill and sweat. Yet every bridge has one statistic no one wants to talk about, of those who've jumped to end their life from a riparian redoubt. But let's not talk about such things and dwell upon my glory days when trucks and tractors used my span and winter brought out horse-drawn sleighs. I'm now retired, as you can see. My narrow lane is far outgrown. And so they moved the county road and left me here to age alone. One day some modern engineers will come, dismantle all my parts, recycle steel and old asphalt as if old bridges have no hearts.
Beautiful poem.
Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Beautiful read and a fantastic poem. I mean, you know, I love the personification of this old bridge and its life and span. And it's just a beautiful poem. He did a wonderful read on that as well. All right, I'm going to check the studio real quick here. Oh, we have a caller. Hello, and welcome to the show, Pam Ray.
Hi, Gray. How's it going?
That's going good, thanks. And how are you?
Good, good. Very cool. Looks like you got a nice lineup of poetry started.
Yeah, you've got some fantastic poets on the site. And did you get a chance to hear Gerald E. Green read?
I did not, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a beautiful poem about an old bridge that he personifies. So it was well written and an excellent poem that he read as well. So thank you for the SoundCloud, Gerald. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem. If you wouldn't mind reading this, Pam, that would be great.
Sure. Actually, I'm sorry to ask, but can you read this one and then I'll get the next one?
Yep, sure.
Okay, thanks.
And this is called Terrible Tom, the Turkey Killer. And it goes, it began as a foul against nature, effrontery against order, pesticide in the land. Read, Tom the Turkey. Smarter than your average fowl, stronger than 100 owls, gaining opposable thumbs, Tom only played dumb. When the Thanksgiving grew near and the farmers grew to cheer, for the season meant lots of meat that the county's families would eat. This Tom will not allow a misplaced axe without a doubt. Tables turned, the farmers shout, beware, Tom's killer stout. Flying at amazing speed, such flexibility needed to be seen. Unfortunately, Tom takes no prisoners. He slashes and slays all who come his way. A humble vegan says, no, not me. I would never eat you. Stop mid-sentence, vocal cord slit. Tom says, you die for having not any taste. Wicked humor was his fate, for the body count grew at a rapid pace. With no one to feed them, the other animals revolted, not knowing the freedom they assaulted. For Tom was before his time, a jive turkey who spoke his mind. Horses hooved, cows cowered, pigs oinked, between donut breaks. Sorry, couldn't help it. chickens pecked and hens strutted, but the die was cast. Tom could not last. A lamp was kicked over in a barn. Who did it? There is no one to ask. All the animals were roasted. Rumor Tom was toasted. Drinking up all the wild turkey. Legend has it, every Thanksgiving Eve, you can look out your window and see the ghost of terrible Tom and the victim of his homicidal murdering spree. And then on the author's notes, it says, think twice before you grab a turkey leg. I liked it. That was very humorous, you know, this personification of a turkey and it getting its revenge on mankind for having eaten its kind for millennia. And so I thought it was fantastic and humorous, right? And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, yes. You know, I really, great read there. You know, and I really enjoyed this. I always enjoy Gilty's poetry. You know, he can go back and forth so wonderfully between making profound statements and humor. And I love the dark, twisted humor in this and how it is told, like, from the perspective of a turkey at Thanksgiving time that has just had enough. I particularly like when the Thanksgiving drew near and the farmers grew to cheer, for the season meant lots of meat that the countless families would eat. This Tom will not allow a misplaced axe without a doubt. Tables turn, the farmers shout, beware, Tom, killer stout. And, of course, you know, the ending, the ghost of terrible Tom and the victims of his homicidal murdering spree. I mean, like I said, wonderful dark humor and just very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go to the next poem here. Okay, I'm going to post this to the board. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam, when you see it.
I would be happy to. All right. And this is teaching by Gypsy Jenny. And it goes like this. Our path traveled on this earth and is humble and wide. I seek truth and honor to follow the good of my teachers, pass through the footsteps of our ancestor guides, borrowed you to me, to thee, as family seekers. I seek truth and honor to follow the good of my teachers, pressed crisp in pages of worn winter white, borrowed you to me, to thee, as family seekers. We honor the gifts given for our journey's flight. Press crisp in white pages of worn winter white, pass through the footsteps of our ancestor guides. We honor the gifts given for our journey's flight. Our path traveled on this earth is humble and wide. And poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read, Pam. And, I mean, this is such a striking reflection on life itself, you know, of our ancestries and the gifts that they've shared with us in order to keep the lineage going forward. And I thought you did a beautiful read on that, Pam, as well. What did you think of the poem, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree, it is beautiful. I really like the pantoon form. It's a form that's deceptively simple because altogether it only has like four lines, but that are mixed in different orders. And it has that nice challenge of it has a rhyming form that, you know, it has a nice flow to it. I really love this all the way through, and I have to agree with you. It is a wonderful poem on how we can learn from our ancestors. I particularly like I seek truth and honor to follow good of my teachers. I really don't think we find truth and, you know, unless and knowledge unless we're willing to seek it. I also like we honor the gifts given for our journey's fight. Like when we, you know, that whole idea that of life being a journey and, you know, the battles that we'll face throughout and how as long as we're willing to reach out and accept them, we're not going to be ill-equipped for it. So beautifully written and very well done.
That was a very astute comment, Pam. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Louie Wildub to the show. Hello, Louie.
Hi, Gray. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Lou.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hi. Oh, I can't keep awake. The medication I'm taking causes me to fall asleep all the time, so I'm drowsy. If you hear somebody snoring, just mute me.
We will do that.
But it won't be due to boredom. It'll due to be dread.
Oh,
you
goodness.
Did a beautiful read on this, Pam. I love the way you read it, Gypsy Jenny's. This poem is just, you know, it's beautiful. Like, you know, going along with both your comments, you know, we make a choice. We can either make a choice to follow our teachers or the teaching of our teachers, or, you know, we go our own path. But what she's trying to say here is that this is something that is carried down through our ancestors' guides, you know, that, you know, the traditions tend to be very truthful and steeped in a lot of spirituality. I love how, you know, she said the pressed crisp in pages of worn winter white. You know, she says that, you know, we need to honor these teachings, and this is what we pass down through our journey through life, how we left, you know, like you were bringing out, through peace or through turmoil. And she
absolutely.
Got a silver, so congratulations on her silver.
Beautiful comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's called Take It Back by Hall of Mindfulness, and she has a SoundCloud.
Take it back. We have to laugh. We have to cry. The idea of control, what a smack in the eye. Our life circumstance, the reason why we know how to love or fight till we die. The voice is screaming, feeding us shit, because the mind won't accept this really is it. There's no great reveal, no pieces to fit. Life just goes on. It's dark, then it's lit. Why aren't we ever taught this fact? We're not the latest post, the Insta snap. Thoughts can be tamed, we're more than this act, more than our stories of future and past. We need to pause, get out of the head, rest in the light of the heart instead. Take back the power and be love-led, so no more pointless blood is shed. The Beatles, John Lennon and Shakespeare too, all knew the way it is, knew what to do. Saw through the chatter to what's really true. The peace in me is the same peace in you. And once this is seen and truly known, with the leave of duplicity, seeds of compassion are sown. Myths and old beliefs on swirling winds are blown. And love runs rings around a hatred outgrown. End of poem. Sam Hall of Hall of Mindfulness.
Beautiful poem. You know, it's hard-hitting, it's impactful, it speaks on taking charge and powering through life. And, you know, letting love win is the key, I think, to this poem. And it's quite beautifully stated. So, excellent job, Hall of Mindfulness. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a powerful poem. I like how the main theme of it is taking action, taking back the world, you know, from those who use violence. You know, I like that she brings up the Beatles, John Lennon, and Shakespeare, too, all knew the way it is, knew what to do, saw through minds chattered to what really is true. The peace in me is the same peace in you. That's got a wonderful rhyme to it. And I like how it shows that throughout history, people have realized that more can be done with peace than with war. I also like that she brought this into modern times with the mention that, you know, we're not always, you know, the latest craze, with the mention of, you know, InstaSnap and the latest posts and all that. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was a wonderful recording. I really enjoyed listening to her read her poem. And, you know, when things happen in the news and children are killed, you know, we feel a lot of anger and a lot of grief. And, you know, it's okay to mourn and to cry, you know. But, you know, she brings out that lots of people at this time are having to deal with different circumstances in life and you know, these deaths that are of the innocents. And, you know, by us unifying together, being, like she says here, we need to pause, get it out of the head, rest in the light of the heart instead, take back the power, and be loved so no more pointless blood is shed. You know, when you stand together as a unit, especially during a lot of protests that are done peacefully, you can express yourself. And, you know, like she was talking about, through mind chatter, what is really true, the peace is in me is the same peace is in you. In order to make peace, we have to stand for peace. So those violent, she's not saying to use the same violence that was used, but to use peace to voice what we're saying and our behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Lee. Okay, Lee, would you mind reading the next one, please?
Okay, hold on, I got to refresh. I confess to sons of what is angelic and beautiful, by Harco Parco. You gasp at certainties, a pleasant gleam of your sun. Impress me with your smile and traumatize breasted bone as if you love me more than once. But what is love of certain kind? You can exclaim me with your breath until nightfall. And part my lips from your skin. Remember how softly you kissed the sky. It was as if you knew I cannot be summer, be the tulips pressed between breasts and your wavering heart. I loved you then like violet shade of a deeper color, or sunrises break that their petals so softly reach their stand, pours the distance from us. I cannot remember why. Then and now we differ as night ceases and our touch is lost, but nectar cannot fade with me. As you so often bleed, draining the rain from my smile, love, I'll breathe with you as you remember how slipped tongues befall. Your language is softly beautiful, as curvaceous to the sky, to your body, and to the suns, and to stars that know more about your eyes, angelic to mountains and streams, to slowly merry gardens in many of noon, denuding our pale cheek of ode, then there is hope to write of dreams. In the stillness and restlessness of where we laid, to realize this dream is no longer a dream, as your closing hands softly brush into mine in poem.
Beautiful read, Lee. And, you know, it's quite masterful, his write here. I mean, it takes you on a journey of adoration and admiration for this lover of his. And I'll breathe with you as you remember how slipped tongues befall. Your language is softly beautiful and as curvaceous to the sky, to your body, to the suns, and to stars that know more about the eyes, angelic to mountain and dreams, to slowly merry gardens in the many of noon, denuding our pale cheeks of ode, there is hope to write of dreams. You know, just a beautiful, inspirational, powerful, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors. It was beautiful and heartfelt. The main theme that I got from it was the idea of two people who have a strong sense of connection despite being opposites, and they accept and understand each other for who they are. I particularly liked it was as if you knew I cannot be summer to the tools pressed between breasts and your wavering heart, and but nectar cannot fade with me as you so often bleed, draining the rain from my smile. Love, I'll breathe with you as you remember how slipped tongues befall. You know, there's just this sense of loss within those lines that really hits hard. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Fabulous comment. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, this is a beautiful, beautiful poem. I agree with your comments, Pam and Gray. You know, I loved how he colored love. I loved you then like violet shade of a deeper color or a sunrise break that their petals so softly reach for and their stand pours the distance from us. You know, this sounds like a long-distance relationship. And, you know, he's, you know, I don't know if they had broken up or fixing the breakup, but he's telling her how much, you know, he loves her. And he says that, you know, he can't remember why then and now we differ on night cases or our touch is lost. You know, sometimes there's a disconnection in a relationship and, you know, there's differences, but that's who we are. We're each individual. And he, you know, he says that he loves her and that, you know, he's telling her how much he loves her. And in the end, he says that as your closing hands softly brush into mine, hopefully she reacted in a positive way to his love.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Haunted Memories, and it's called Be Easy on My Heart. I've caused my share of trouble, broken a heart or three, trapped on this path of life until you set me free. In the light of that old barroom, your smile melted me. I couldn't control it. I could only plead. Be easy with my heart. I'm bent, but not broken. I am lost in your eyes and captured by words unspoken. I didn't want to fall in love, yet I am frozen in my tracks. With you by my side, my hand is finally stacked. I'm not a gambling man. With you as my bride, I go all in this game of life. I finally win. Be easy with my heart. I'm bent but not broken. I'm lost in your eyes and captured by words unspoken. Please, Lord, let us grow old. With grandkids we can spoil. Keep our love pure and true until we return to the soil. Be easy with my heart. I'm bent but not broken. I am lost in your eyes and captured by words unspoken. Be easy on my heart. End poem. And, yeah, that was a touching piece. I mean, you can feel the love and the insecurity in his open heart poem. I thought it was just fantastically penned and very loving and deeply admirable, for sure. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, that's a great read there, Gray. So it's good to see something by Haunted Memories. I've always enjoyed and appreciated his writing. It's a wonderful rhyming poem. You know, I really like how this is all about, you know, the way that, you know, love takes us by surprise. Like, we're not expecting to find it, you know, and I like how he opens up, you know, with the idea of seeing his own share of troubles, never expecting love, and then all of a sudden it comes along. And like you said, there's this kind of idea of an insecurity, you know, be easy with my heart. I'm bent but not broken. I am lost in your eyes and captured by words unspoken. I love how he brings up that idea of the communication that happens without words. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I thought you did a beautiful read on this, Gray Eyes. I love the beautiful, painful, honest memories that he's expecting here. He says that he knows he's broken hearts before, but, you know, when he went into that bar room and saw this woman's smile, it melted his heart. And he says he realizes that he's broken and and that he says he wasn't expecting to fall in love. But he says, I'm not a gambling man, with you as my bride. I go all in this game of life. I finally win. So to be in such a lonely life, and then to finally fall in love with somebody to marry them and wanting to grow old and expand their family, you know, to have their grandkids that they can spoil. And, but, you know, he said, you know, he still reminds her due to his lifestyle and the military and the things that he's had to see and do, you know, he realizes that, you know, there are painful memories, and for her to be patient, just like in any relationship, love and patience goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, great comment. Thank you, Leah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pam, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right.
We have one more caller to bring on. Sorry.
Okay.
Hello, area code 703. Is that you, Bobby?
It is indeed. Good evening.
Hi. Well, welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy.
Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready, please.
Hey. All right. This is Long Sunday by Ice Brat, and it goes like this. I'm tired, I'm worn, I'm dreary, crashing back in bright rocking chair, who snuck rocks in my comfy chair, pill-popping prescription cackle loudly. Too long day ahead and night, droughts waiting upside down all around, crooked lines. My stomach's going in circles of circles, distant plans to jump through roller coasters, entreat dusk for solitary confinement, tightly captured by sweet baby hands, trapped now, hiding in ruby minefield, blackened by downed caffeinated drinks, light head, limply crusted and busted, lying as if I'm well played, lying if I say I'm poorly dredged, trumped by clear skies plated, left airless reflated, or plain deflations, stringing words on blacked laptops, typing hieroglyphics, leaking groans, blind eyes whitened by color grain, end poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And, you know, that's a heart-wrenching piece on the suffering that, you know, this lady suffers. It's heartfelt, it's deep, you can picture all this as you read it. Too long day ahead and night drafts waiting, upside down, all around, crooked lines, my stomach's going in circles of circles, stitched plans to jump rough roller coasters and treat dusk for solitary confinement, tightly captured by sweet baby hands, trapped now, hiding in ruby minefield, blackened by down, caffeinated drinks. Yeah, just a hard-hitting poem. What did you think, Leah?
I thought Pam did a great job in reading this poem by Ice Brat. Ice Brat has gone through a lot due to her surgeries. And, you know, it is really hard. I understand this poem because I'm going through this right now. Your mind is telling, you know, your mind tells you, you know, you want to do things and get up and get going. But when you're taking prescribed medications that causes nausea, that, you know, that you're in pain, you know, these types of medicines mostly cause drowsiness and you wanting to sleep and not go anywhere where, you know, it says enter dusk for solitary confinement, tightly captured by sweet baby hands, you know, like her kids hugging her, you know, and you do feel trapped, you know, even if you drink coffee, it really doesn't help the side effects. I actually think it makes it work faster. And, you know, and like she says in her author's note, you know, this can feel like a long day, simple as that, hurting, and even a whisper tiring, taking prescriptions and downing Diet Coke, yet laying collapsed on a chair just another day. You know, that is just, you know, the circle of life and medicine and injury. Well penned.
Yeah, rough stuff. Thank you, Lee. I'll feel better soon. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think we all can relate to this piece. It's just, this is what I call bone tired. Not only are you physically exhausted, but you're emotionally drained as well. And sometimes that's worse because your brain is like the gerbil in the exercise wheel, and it won't slow down. And all you want to do is lose consciousness for about 8 hours. So I can totally, totally empathize with Ice Breath's writing, and I like her nom de plume. But she's got some great lightheaded, limply crusted and busted, lying if I say I'm well played. Lying if I say I'm poorly dredged, trumped by clear skies plated. Now, that's one of those things where you're so tired that you almost can't go to sleep. Yeah, she has really captured not only the sensations but the emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this definitely is a heartfelt and a powerful write. It's got a beautiful raw honesty to it, and trying to, you know, conquer a difficult day, but knowing that, you know, some days are just, they feel unconquerable. The pain, the tiredness, it all just, you know, takes over. So excellent write and very well done.
Wonderful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to have to ask if maybe Liu, you could go through to my show page and pick out the next poem after Ice Brat, as it's not letting me click onto my page. It says 500 internal server error.
Oh, really? Okay, hold on.
That means this link has failed for some reason.
Everything. Okay.
Here are some possible reasons.
I'm getting the same thing. 500 in turtle server error. I'm getting the same thing. How about you, Pam?
Same thing. Nobody's going to be able to grab any teams for now, Gray, so we're going to have to chit-chat an hour and 15 minutes of listening to Gray Eye Smith, Pam Ray, Captain B2, and Louie Wild Dove making conversation about their very exciting lives.
Or what we can do is put a poem in from each of our page. We could put a poem
in.
That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's true. Good point. All right.
Adapt and overcome.
I mean, it won't cover up the whole time, but.
Smart thinking, young lady.
We can at least read a poem. Let's see.
I can also get to the pending picks page, so that gives us a whole panoply of things to read from.
Wow.
Yeah, but it preferably we got to be careful with that because we need people that we'd have blanket permission from.
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Okay.
Yes. God bless Pam, keeping us honest.
Yeah.
Keeping us out of poetry prison.
Okay. Since you can't put it, your poem on Gray's page because it's an eternal error, you're going to have to put your poem into the group.
That's fair.
Wow, that's terrible.
Do you?
Okay. All right. This is titled Entombed. Hole in the wallpaper, peeling wallpaper, heavy creaking chairs, panel cracking wood, eyes follow each fissure, valleys of unwatered land. Leaning against the wall, under dull smoked hanging lamps, heated bulbs entranced, yellow smoked memories, fading conversations, just my hidden talking mind. Window of blinking stars, another long starry night, sitting on your tailgate by your moon shadow, moving at a snail's pace across the concrete floors. Your eyes see through hidden towers, rusted gate hinges, where my white knuckle hands desperately grasp shut, releasing clenched fingers at dusk. Hanging bell chimes over the door, humid air rushes in ringing a song, twisting sighs of yearning. Morning sunlight overshadows dusty spiderweb bulbs encasing me in your silk. Clinking glass on lonely counters. Night quickly fades, awakening the cocking crow. Dawn's light colors peeling heart's wallpaper, exposing more desired veins on the aching paneling. Love lost eyes entombed in moments. End poem.
Beautiful read, and you know, this is a very emotional piece full of love and, you know, obviously reminiscence. And I thought it was just a fantastic poem.
The page is back.
And,
I'm sorry, I interrupted. The page is back.
Oh, the page.
That's okay.
And this is just a beautiful, beautiful piece. Very heart wrenching, and. You can feel the love and, you know, the desire in it. And just a haunting piece, Lee.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. As always, you've got amazing memory. I was glancing at the word memories, imagery and metaphors. And that part does particularly stand out to me with leaning against the wall under dull smoked hanging lights, heated bulbs and trance, yellowed smoked memories, fading conversations, just my hidden talking mind. You know, I just, to me, that really makes an impact. The whole the way you use the imagery of a fading light and the idea of a mind that trapped backwards. so beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Well, first I want to apologize for blurting out that the page was back. I forgot I wasn't on mute.
That's okay.
So that's an endorsement to Pam's good manners and good habits of muting yourself. So first of all, I'm sorry about that. This is a very intense piece. Pam's right. Really haunting metaphors. The visual imagery is stunning. It is a very haunting piece. A window of blinking stars, another long starry night, sitting on your tailgate by your moon shadow, moving at a snail's pace across cold concrete floors. You could feel that, and you just really intense. Rusted gate hinges where my white knuckled hands desperately grasp shut. The descriptions that you've got in here are just they're a word painting. You did a really terrific job on this piece.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Absolutely. And area code, I'm sorry, is that you, PC?
This is Dexter.
Oh, hey, Dexter.
Hey, Dad.
I did have it right.
Hey.
Hey, Dexter.
And did you get a chance to hear the last poem, Dexter?
I did. I loved Lou Yu's poem. I think people captured it very well, or like talked about it very well, about reminiscent and a longing way. To me, it just feels like almost like, you miss, or like somebody that misses, or somebody that wishes that both people were the same as they were that night. You know, feelings have changed since then. People have changed since then. But like, you know, if you could go back in time and kind of, capture when both people felt the same, maybe, or something along those lines. I just think that this is a very tragic piece and, very well done.
Thank you, Dexter.
Great comment, Dexter. Thank you. Okay. I've got the next poem up, and this is by, Sawa, a.k.a. I Love Poems. So here we go.
I Love Poems. Son esprit errait au-delà des montagnes, her mind roamed beyond mountains. Dans ces moments de solitude, les livres ont éveillé des rêves d'émerveillement. Son esprit errait au-delà des montagnes, un soleil doré où les fleurs sont sauvages. La vie l'a menée à une bête. Sa mine, tout d'abord, l'a effrayée. En silence, elle réfléchissait. Ses yeux ont vu des plumes tendres, cachées dans des plaies profondes. Dans ses moments de tendresse, contre le vent d'un soleil couchant, elle a rejoint dans une danse, avant que la rose ne se fane et l'amour est né. In such times of loneliness, books awaken dreams of wonder, rebel roam beyond mountains, under golden sun the flowers are wild. Life led her to beast, his mien scared her at first, in silence she reflected, her eyes saw tender feathers hidden in deep wounds. In such time of tenderness, against the wind of sleepless sun, she joined him in a dance, before the rose withered and love was born in the storm.
Beautiful read, Sawa. And I mean, that's a touching poem. Her life led her to a beast. His mane scared her at first. In silence she reflected. Her eyes saw tender feathers hidden in deep wounds. I mean, that's poetic as hell, Deco. It's a fabulous poem. And well read, Sawa. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to say it is absolutely beautiful. You know, I really like how she's captured this. You know, as always, she does a wonderful read in every language she writes in. I like how she takes a familiar character of Belle with the Beauty and the Beast. You know, I especially liked that middle stanza, you know, with the life led her to a beast, his mane scared her at first. In silence she reflected, her eyes saw tender feathers hidden in deep wounds. And that's true to the story, but it also makes for a good point about life, is that oftentimes the people who seem the angriest, seem the ugliest, you know, seem the most withdrawn are actually the most beautiful people. So very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Louie, what did you think?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought this was a wonderful poem by Sawa. I agreed with everything Pam says. That second stanza to me was powerful. You know, at the first stanza, she says, in such times of loneliness, you know, and then she says that she roamed beyond the mountains, Belle did. And, you know, she wasn't looking for love. You know, she felt lonely, you know, but what ended up happening is the circumstances of her life led her to this beast. And, you know, that is one of the things that I think we are so pushed into society. It's on the TV, it's in the magazines, it's on billboards, you know, body sculpt this, body sculpt that, add breath, you know, just, you know, you're not beautiful enough. And then she brings that here. When you look at somebody past, like Pam brought out, past their appearance, you can learn who they really are. And, you know, when you have suffered, there's something about somebody that has had a hard life. Most, you know, most of them tend to, since they've been hurt, they're not going to hurt you if they fall in love with you. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I thought this was beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. And Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, as always, I very much enjoyed Salwa's piece. She has such an incomparable reading voice. And I mean, her voice is so emotive. I don't think anyone can compare to the way she reads, and especially her own pieces. Her emotion just comes out so well. And I also concur that center stanza, life led her to a beast, his mien scared her at first. In silence she reflected. She has taken, like Pam said, she's taken a very familiar story, and she's made it an adult piece that we can all really appreciate. And she's done it with a great deal of style and elegance.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. I mean, thank you, Bobby. And Dexter, what did you think?
Well, I mean, I think everybody pretty much captured it. I mean, this is absolutely gorgeous and beautiful by Sawa, and what a take on the Beauty and the Beast, and just breathtaking in her own words. So very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dexter. And I'd like to welcome Poetic Creations to the show. Hello, Poetic.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Did you get a chance to hear the last poll?
Actually, no. I was trying to get ready so that I could read my poem. I'm kind of half distracted. But I didn't
read
the comments.
That's okay. Thank you. Bobby, you're up next to read, please.
Oh, all righty.
I'll repost it.
Okay. Oh, it's my piece. I was reading someone else's. Okay. Tangled in recherche blue. The woman goes to her gate dressed in ivory lace and cerulean velvet. Looking across the shore to the sea, she finds the weather fine. She hears the steeple chimes ringing through the hills all the way from town. She watches the seagulls fly, silver on the surf, stitching through the ocean edges of the sky. She wanders down the hill through the swaying wild lupine, gathering flowers for her table, wandering down the hills through the tall grass to the sea. Against the sunset, the steeple bells ringing her sadness. She comes away alone. In her reverie, she dreams of a prince who rides along the hills and the sea, scattering the sand and the foam into shards of fantasy, riding up the hills from the beach in the tall summer grass, holding the sun in his hands, his eyes reflecting love like a looking glass. Each eventide, she stands by the gate with her long hair blowing and the fading colors of the day reminding her of her solitude. She bargains with her loneliness to remind herself she is living. The night comes and with it isolation, feeling only the tapestry of her life holds her in and keeps her whole. So she survives imprisoned in her bones behind the crystal blue windows of her eyes, and she feels the colors and the bells and the wind and the dreams, day and night and day again, and her daydreams come and go away forever. All the while the shining summer sun dances in the glass smooth ocean mirror while she searched the waves for love and her desperate visions for a sign. The knot of tears around her heart is crystallizing into her hope's design. And in the night, the harsh wind is rolling down the hills through the tall grass to the sea. And in the dark, the hard steeple bells are ringing her despair as she spends her nights alone. End poem.
Beautiful. Excellent read, Bobby. And a fantastic poem. The storyline is just so emotive and engaging and capturing. It really pulls the reader in and holds them straight through to the end of a day in the life of this lonely woman. And how heart-wrenching that is. The loneliness, you know, is palpable for sure. And, you know, I really love the nature that you used in it. The scenery was just fantastic. So excellent job, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is absolutely beautiful. It has a tender and haunting feel to it in the way you capture the life, a day in the life of this woman who struggles with loneliness. Wonderful use of the color blue throughout. I particularly like she wanders down the hill through the swaying wild lupine, gathering flowers for her table, wandering down the hills through the tall grass to the sea. And the night comes, and with it isolation, feeling only the tapestry of her life holds her in and keeps her whole. The whole idea of having to look at the intricate details of life, you know, and remembering all the good times that had happened before the loneliness, as the idea of what holds the mind together, I think is just a really powerful point made. So very well done, Bobby.
Pam?
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Louie, what do you think?
Can you hear me now?
Hello. Yes, we can.
Hello.
Hello.
I loved listening to Bobby read this poem. I thought she did, just like with Pam that mentioned, these different shades of blue that just color everything. Each stanza, You know, I love the detail and the imagery where you can just feel her loneliness, her searching and waiting for the one that she loves, and she's keeping that dream alive even though she's lonely and she's by herself. You know, it's right here, it says, while she searches the waves for love. You know, I could just see her at the ocean, you know, where you said above, in the glass smooth ocean mirror, and her desperate visions for a sign. You know, she's still looking for her love. She's waiting for him. The knot of tears around her heart is crystallizing into her hope's design. You know, and just, you know, her heart, you know, you could almost feel like it's cracking, you know, in this beautiful crystal, these different shades of where her heart longs for the ones she loves. Beautifully read and beautifully written, Bobby.
Thank you, Lee. Wonderful comment. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was incredible, Bobby. And, you know, what I kind of got about, she hears the steeple chimes, you know, ringing through the hills. That added loneliness of, you know, maybe you hear, you see others falling in love. And maybe it's all around you. And then you begin to kind of wonder, what's wrong with me? Or what is it about, you know, maybe reminding, you know, her of her solitude and the fading colors, you start to think that maybe it's me. This is just an incredible piece and very heartfelt and very beautiful as far as filled with imagery. I just thought it was incredible.
Thank you very much.
Great comment, Dexter. And PC, what did you think?
Yeah, I hope you guys don't think I'm looking too deep in this, but what stood out the most for me is that they talked about, there were two or three times where they said loneliness, that word came up, but then there were two or three times, so it's slightly repetitious, but there's the word imprisoned. Okay, I've heard the word being jailed or imprisoned, but above that it says it's isolation. It's like, okay, well, that's a deeper level of prison, like, or in a mental institution or in jail, prison, wherever you are. Isolation is far, far worse. It's like, okay, prison's bad, but isolation's a whole nother extreme. Then you could be put in isolation in a mental institution, and love drives us crazy, doesn't it? Don't it almost make you feel like when you're in isolation, like you need to be in a padded room, like, God damn it, I'm going to smash them. It's that isolation, but I saw it at such a deep level in isolation room, like an isolation. I said, I hope I'm not reaching too much here, but doesn't love at times possess that quality that drives you insane? Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, but there's this level of insanity, like you need to be in an isolation room. Like, you get it? Does that make sense?
No, that was a great comment, PC. Thank you. Okay,
thank
Dexter,
you.
I've got your piece up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Absolutely. Okay, this is At Night She Flickers. The soft evanescence flutters gently between shadows, glowing warm and textured serenity. Her love language fluently poured from her body, gravitational magniloquence imprisoning me in her fingers. Pollen romances, heightened senses, strengthening my curves, excitement as she spreads her wings and carries me to a dream. End poem.
Well, that was both sensual and beautiful. You know, it's very passionate and endearing. You know, you can feel the desire that you have in this poem. So just a beautiful expression of wanting and desire, Dexter. Well done. Pam, what did you think? You bet.
Yeah, this is a beautiful brevity that is, as I agree, romantic and sensual. I really particularly, well, it's beautiful all the way through, but pollen romance's heightened senses strengthen my curves excitement as she spreads her wings and carries me to a dream. You know, to me, that gives me the whole thought of two lovers falling asleep next to each other, you know, after being intimate. And so it's just beautifully written and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam.
And Louie, what did you think?
Can you hear me? Because I got disconnected.
Yeah.
Hello? Okay.
Hello.
Dexter, this was such... Hello?
Hi.
You know, Dexter, this was just a beautiful read, as it was a beautiful poem. Congratulations on your silver medal. I love how you took that photograph and made it breathe with beauty. You know, it just reminded me of the night, you know, the night moths that fly in between the shadows. I thought that was gorgeous. And, you know, I loved how you said that her love, the love that she had, was pouring out of her body. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You can just look at somebody and see their eyes and their body language. And, you know, of course, you know, as she spreads her wings and carries me to a dream. That, you know, that was just gorgeous. Your heightened senses.
Thank you, Louie.
Beautiful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Well, Dex, I have to say this is a really amazing departure for you. Your poetry is usually very visceral, and this is a very eloquent, elegant brevity. The use of language is wonderfully done. You used one of my favorite words, evanescence. It's very precision expression, and your use, your pairing of gravitational magniloquence being the use of high flown language, a very interesting and expressive combination in that phrase. But the whole piece is a magnificent interpretation of the prompt that was given for that contest. It really does give the ethereal delicacy of the butterfly shown across the beautiful woman's face. So again, a very well deserved silver bravo.
Thank you, Bobby.
Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And PC, what are your thoughts?
You know, I was distracted. And I'm sorry. I can't. I didn't hear. I was full mind up. I was getting ready to read.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Would you mind reading your poem then?
Yeah, I can do that. Just I'm doing. I'm ready.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I titled this Symphony Under the Sea. She struck a chord, blew a kiss, punched with a fist. A red rose one day, a brown recluse spider the next. The bloom blooms. She blooms before the bite. This darkness, it spreads. Her darkness is spreading under oppressive force of teeth gnashing bone. The blood moon's bloody dew dampens lush grass. Vicious biting like a merry-go-round. Dizzy bee trembling to the sound of a dark grand symphony. Rich, bold, vibrant, strings that tie, that bind, that unlock a key of deadbolt from the inside out. Treble hooks are cast. Her lines have been set.
her net is spread wide, but the waters do run deep. End poem.
Well, excellent, right? Excellent read as well. You know, there's a darkness that's engaging and fascinating in this poem. I mean, it seeps through right from the very beginning. Struck a chord, blew a kiss, punched with fists. A red rose one day, a brown recluse spider the next. The bloom blooms, she blooms before her the bite. This darkness that spreads, her darkness is spreading. A haunting poem, PC. Beautifully done. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. It's beautifully written. It is dark and haunting. I particularly like the imagery in the second stanza, which is very visceral. Under oppressive force of teeth gnashing bone, the blood moon's bloody dew dampens lush grass, vicious biting like a merry-go-round dizzy bee. You know, you get the idea of somebody who is angry, somebody who has been pushed down way too many times. You know, I like how this comes across as a mythological tale of, you know, almost like it kind of makes me think of like a sea monster who perhaps wasn't always a sea monster but became that way from the way she was treated. And it works well also, I think, on a metaphorical level. So just beautifully written, PC, and very well done.
Thank you.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts? Unmute, Louie.
Oh, let me see if she...
Yep, I was talking to the mute.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this poem by PC. I like the imagery, and of course everybody's going to read it different. For me, this is somebody who's in love with someone who almost has a double personality. You know, first, you know, they're kissing and they're a rose and then they bloom, you know, which he talks about the beauty of her. But in a sense, then he talks about the difference in the darkness. That, you know, that she punches and that she's like a spider and that she blooms before she bites and her darkness is spreading. You know, sometimes you can be involved with somebody who has this type of dual personality and it's very difficult to live with, you know, and sometimes you feel like you're drowning in the relationship where, you know, it says her net is spread wide. The waters run deep, so I, you know, and that she's got her hooks and she's pulling you down. So this is, for me, it was well written, and the danger of that type of personality.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I find this an interesting study in contrast. You've got it starts from the first line. Struck a chord, blew a kiss, punched with fists. I mean, you're kissing and punching at the same time. You've got a red rose one day and a brown recluse spider the next. Again, a pendulum swing of contrasts. The bloom blooms, the darkness spreads. Again, you've got a vicious biting like a merry-go-round. And then again, you've got strings that tie, that bind, that unlock, and that's here's your fastening, and then you're unfastening, and I think it's almost it's an interesting study in a relationship how there can be so much contrast, especially if you've got someone who's got issues like self-esteem. Or previous, if they're the damaged person, you're going to run the gamut of emotional contrasts, and I think this delineates them quite well.
Fantastic comment, Bobby. Thank you. And PC, what are your thoughts?
Oh,
I wrote the poem. The reason I picked this one, because it was talking about the merry-go-round in the beginning of this this show. It was I said something about something, a roller coaster or something, reminded me of a cycle going round and round, a cycle of pain, like you jump on it, and that was why I chose this. There's been a couple things during this show where I've seen repetitive cycles of pain, and that's why I chose this piece. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, PC. Okay, Pam, I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I'm not. Okay. All right. And this is Tears of Angels by Daniel DeShino, and it goes like this. I've never seen an angel. Angels do not desire to be seen. They see the color of pure white light. They are the color of pure white light, radiant invisibility that illuminates jasmine touch, wings not to lift but to carry those in need, and voice of musical harmony, strings to play chords of distant hope, symphony of coming peace for the wandering, troubled mind. I have never heard that sound, but I have heard the angels cry. Listen for the fluttering breath that powers the wind, for the hidden skyward wilting flowers that catch dewdrops, that birth the falling rain. Listen to the stars as they mourn what they see with flickering, trembling eyes. Angels always cry from the curse of the knowledge of the suffering world. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And that was a powerful poem on the subject of angels and their tears. You know, they always cry from the curse of the knowledge of the suffering world. You know, I mean, to carry the world on your shoulders literally has got to be a painful thing. And just a haunting, powerful, emotive, fantastic, right, with beautiful imagery as well. And what did you think, Lee?
I thought Pam did a beautiful job in reading Daniel's poem about this angel. You know, I went to go look at the image that he picked, and it shows an angel sitting down, legs in front of her, draped with her arms and her head underneath, with the wings on the side, you know, with the head down. You know, people never think about so much about angels as them having feelings just like we do. And when they see us suffer, it hurts them just as much as it's hurting us. And I thought that he just beautifully wrote these lines that says to listen for the fluttering breath that powers the wind, for the hidden skyward wilting flowers, you know, that, you know, that they also mourn.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
This is a...
Hello.
Hi.
And me? This
yeah.
is a really okay. a really powerful piece. I like the way he's punctuated this with, I've never seen an angel. Angels do not desire to be seen. I've never heard that sound, but I have heard the angels cry. He's never seen them, but he's heard them. And the concept of the angels' wings do not lift, but to carry those in need. And I get a sense of them in, like, almost standing off stage, being observers of human nature and of life, and a feeling the sorrow and the sadness, but not being able to affect much change, and only being able to really indirectly offer solace. And it is a very melancholy piece. Angels always cry from the curse of the knowledge of the suffering world. And that comes across very strong in this piece.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was an incredible write. You know, I've seen an angel. Angels do not desire to be seen. In voice and musical harmony, strings to plaintive chords. This is just has the scene he puts together is almost like a painting. You know, it almost feels like one of those biblical paintings that you would see. And it's just striking, it's timeless, and it's powerful. So very well done, Daniel.
Well said. Thank you, Dexter. And PC, what did you think?
There was one part that stood out to me, and I had never heard about the angels thing or anything, but it says, but I have heard the angels cry. And it says, listen for the fluttering breath that powers the wind. Well, you can't hear tears, but the sobbing, you can hear sobbing, so the fluttering breath that powers the wind. That would be the angels crying, right? They're the ones, it's saying that their breath, that the wind is the breath of the angels. Like that might be them sobbing. Since you can't hear tears, you hear the wind, and the wind is, it's almost like that's metaphorical for tears. Water flows, tears flow, wind flows. There's connections in it. I just thought that was kind of interesting how they represented tears, and to me it solidly connects, and that is the breath. It says, listen for the fluttering breath that powers the wind. It's like they're saying that's and it goes down, and it's almost like this grounding with nature, almost like this connection with Mother Nature when you get to the wilting flowers. To me, there were these deep connections where I think if one were to read it real fast, they'd skip it. But then when you read it and think about it in depth, it's like, well, now wait a second. I see where they're going with this. There's deeper meaning, I think, in a lot of this. It's almost like you have to study. You have to break every line down and see how it connects with other lines. Like there's a stage or a stage that breaks, but it feels like the fluttering breath is the crying tears. I thought it was magnificent.
Well said. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Robbie to the show. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie.
Hello. Hello, long time no see or hear. Yeah, you unmuted me, I just heard Abby, and I didn't know. It was like Abby, so I was like, okay, so were they calling for Robbie or Bobby? I don't know. So that's why I tried to in right. I was kind of confused. So I had a chance to hear the poem.
Yeah,
I had a chance to hear, and as with others, the last stanza is what particularly caught me, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, the whole idea and the concept of like both the blessing and the curse of knowledge. And it's kind of like, it can kind of tie in sometimes with free will. It's like you have the choice, you have the freedom of choice, but with that freedom comes all the other stuff that comes with it. You know, you have the freedom to make a good choice, but you have the freedom to make a bad choice as well. And the bad choices are what really make you suffer, right? And it's kind of like you have that further definition of life, but you take the bad with the good, you know? And the poem captured me in its overall tone in terms of, I've been thinking a lot about, from a historical perspective, about how angels are represented and what they mean. And like I saw a video where the angels were, like, when, if you go by like the strictly by how they were actually described, they're actually very unusual in their, you know, in their physicality and such. And so that made me think of that a bit. And it just is a nice, I like poems that make me think further on that subject, you know, and it made me think about the whole thing overall with how angels are both metaphysically and, you know, they're more, the more literal representation of them, like how they're actually written down and such. So Yeah, so I enjoyed it for that overall arching sense of it and how it made me think.
Great comment. Thank you, Robbie. And, okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. Did you bring a piece, Robbie?
No, I haven't posted in a bit. I'm just starting to get back into the swing of things. So it'll be maybe a couple of days before I have something posted again, but I do plan to get something posted.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, Bobby, you're up next to read, please. Would you mind reading for us, Sharp?
Is that Bobby or Robbie?
Bobby.
Hey. Okay. I agree. It gets confusing. So maybe we should color code us or something. Okay.
Yeah.
We have Autumn Visitors by S. Shape. Very good. Okay. Autumn Visitors. Five geese float in on the last echo of the sun's fading song, their white undersides visible against the purple, orange, and red of the cloud-dipped sky. The trees stand leafless, their arms reaching out as if to embrace their visitors. But the fowl intently glide down to the golden glazed mirror-like marsh below. The flapping of their wings is the only breeze tussling the grassy edges of the water. Their honking reminds me of those days sitting in traffic before father's death when I moved back to the farm. I guess the city life wasn't for them either. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And just a fantastic poem. You know, you can feel the serenity in this piece as you read through it. You know, so as if you're standing on the shore of this place watching this go on, and just the prettiest picture in the world, really. Their white undersides visible against purple, orange, and red of the cloud-dipped skies. Just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is absolutely beautiful. Stunning imagery. I really like how captures the trees stand leafless, their arms reaching out as if to embrace their visitors, but the fowl intently glide down to the golden glazed mirror-like marsh below. He really captures the imagery of winter very well. The stillness of it, the kind of surreal feel of how winter is so still and so haunting. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And PC, what did you think?
Well, I'm a sucker for what is onomatopoeia or whatever, that honking. It's funny. Every bird has a distinctive call, like a blackbird does a cackle and a goose does a honking. Like they're really distinct. I don't see that much of that go on, but I love that. When I heard that, it made me laugh. but there's a lot of color. There's a lot of distinctness. And it's a very intelligent, right? The word usage, like instead of saying creek, river, an overused word, they are very distinctive with their word choices, like marsh and the word fowl, like someone hunting, like they call them fowl. But there's this word usage, it's almost like an accent, like there's a level of flair, this different, it's like it's like if I were to hear someone speak in country, it's got that accent to it. But I like it because it is distinct, because of those distinctive words. It's like they're real hand-picked, and I think that's what makes this poem. That's what I like about it, is a lot of the word usage is so very distinct.
Absolutely. Great comment, PC. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Well, when I heard this piece, I connected with it quite directly because we have a nice marina here where I live, and the geese are there in the summer, and you see them migrate in the winter. And so when I heard the imagery, and the imagery was written very in a very peaceful manner, like everyone's been saying, I really did visualize it in my mind's eye, and it was that visualization was based on what I've actually seen. And you know, because when the winter comes here, I just remember, you know, hearing the honks and seeing them fly in their formation to go south. And tangentially, it made me think of the poor geese this year, because the winter was really, really, really extended here. And I was actually worried about them, because they came here thinking, oh, it's spring, but it was not spring-like at all for a couple of weeks for them, and it was quite cold. And I learned that they're adapted to the cold, but I still felt bad for them. I was still wondering, like, are some of these guys going to, you know, survive in that? And so even though that wasn't at all an element in the poem per se, because it dealt with the travels and travails of geese, it brought that to mind for me.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. And PC, would you mind reading the next one, please?
Yeah, I can do that.
Thank you.
All right, which one am I reading? Can you say the title so I know I'm doing the right one?
It's Stuart the Gnome, Keeps the Tidy House.
By Ivy Rose?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bobby, you didn't get to comment on that.
That's okay. That's okay.
Would you like to comment?
Go ahead and play. No, that's all right. Play through. You've probably got a lot of poetry to get through, and you've got a lot of guests this evening, so I don't mind.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, PC, whenever you're ready.
This poem is by Ivy Rose. The title is Stuart the Gnome Keeps a Tidy House. 6 inches tall, wearing clogs with bird feet soles, Stuart was a happy gnome that loved his home, enjoyed working in his garden, keeping it tidy, loved to groom and speak with horses, cows, chickens, rubbed the horses and cows with a special rhubarb gel. Hard working, good natured, was always joking, whistled as he tended to the plants in his garden. When a human came near, he stood very still. Since he was only 6 inches tall, most could not see him. Loved his charming cottage, carved into a black elm tree. Popular with the animals, they always ran to him. Carried a full pair of fruits and nuts to feed them with. He treated himself to a drink of fermented honey, or a spiced gin, which was known as a mead dew. His herd was very long and tightly braided. On his head, a pointy hat was tied up with vines and green bean strings. Always enjoyed a party, wore his boots when he danced, with Apple Blossom, his gnome girlfriend, with golden curls. Being speedy, they could make their feet move very fast. Went through his cottage to clean like a bat out of hell. Stuart put his pantry full of fruits and vegetables in tidy order, just a few frantic minutes and seconds. End poem.
Great read, PC. And you know, I
have never read that before, so I tried, honestly.
Well, you did wonderful with it, you know. I mean, we all kind of go into these blind, but we do the best we can with them, and you did a great job, so that's just fantastic. But, yeah, absolutely. And the storyline was just engaging and endearing. I mean, you can picture this whole scene of this gnome in his little house and his frantic cleaning and, you know, his girlfriend, Golden, Apple Blossom. his girlfriend with the golden hair curls. You know, you can picture all this as you read it. So I thought you did a very descriptive and engaging poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, definitely descriptive and engaging. Wonderful read there, PC. You know, Ivy, she has such a gift for storytelling. I, too, liked where they brought up the apple bloom or apple blossom, his gnome girlfriend. I also like that she went with a specific tree like the black elm tree. And another part that really made me smile was rub the horses and cows with a special rhubarb gel. You know, I can you imagine cows, gnome-sized cows and horses being rubbed with rhubarb gel? That just is one of those imagery that makes you smile. So very well done.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
Cows.
Oh, I thought this was a wonderfully imaginative piece of whimsy. She's really materially created a character here, given them a behavior and an appearance and a girlfriend and a home. This is a wonderfully fertile imagination. And she's able to really conjure a very strong a word picture. As you read it, you can see this little character and his beard and his spiced gin and his girlfriend and his little home, and all of this from the picture that was the prompt. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Robbie, what are your thoughts?
I was delighted to hear it in terms of the fact that it was about a gnome, and because the thing is, I've always liked fairy tales and the fairy folk and that, and the thing with the way this poem was set up, it was set up as it should be because there's so much lore, you know, and little bits of detail and folklore around fairy folk and gnomes and such, and so I was glad to see, like you said, all the little details included, and it was very much spoke to, I think, what a gnome would be like and what a gnome's life would be like, and I kind of laughed to myself at one or two points because, like, gnomes, fairy folk, and that they're very capricious, they're very finicky and picky and that, and they'll, you know, they curse you in their land at the drop of a hat. And when I say, you know, his girlfriend, I'm like, I wouldn't want to be the girlfriend of a gnome, you know. Take him off, he turned me into a rock or something like that, you know. So that thought just ran through my mind, and I chuckled. Just, you know, just at the thought of the gnome's girlfriend ticking him off. And he's like, I'll curse you. I'll turn you into a rock now, you know. There's the end of that tale.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie. And PC, what are your thoughts?
I'm not sure if it's intentional. I swear, I think sometimes I read too deep in the stuff. But y'all hear that movie, Stuart Little? This guy is 6 inches tall. His name's Stuart, right?
Yeah.
Thought it was a clever little play. I don't know if that, but I thought that was funny because it's almost like, but there was also I got hung up as like, it says known as mead do. I know what mead is. It was just, I never seen those two words together, but I like that word mead. Mead's like a honey wine. It's not a wine. It's not a beer. It's not a wine. It's a mead. It's made out of fermented honey. There's a lot of these poems that I keep seeing these really unique characteristics, but I don't think I've ever heard anybody use the word meat before. But it's something sweet. You talk about gnomes and the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Gold's yellow, honey's yellow. It's like maybe the mead's their pot of gold. They're drinking the honey and gold and having a party and a good old time. That's the gold that's in the rainbow. See? It's that mead do.
Yeah.
But it's yellow. It's that gold. That's the gold that's in the rainbow. That was just my distinctive quirky little thing I noticed.
Well, thank you for sharing that, PC. I appreciate it. Okay, Robbie, you're up next to read, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, so this is that Diary of a Landlady, that one?
Yeah. Yes, you bet.
Okay. So Diary of a Landlady 2, The Paranoid English Woman. The Paranoid English Woman. A lady booked a stay with me. She was in some distress. She'd left her husband and her home. Her life was in a mess. She didn't want me in her room. She said she'd clean it up. She'd tidy up and change the sheets. She'd have her own routine. The only time she left the house was when she smoked outside. She had her food delivered in the local store supplied. One day when she went out to smoke, I thought a peak was due and all the mirrors, all the pics were hidden out of view. She'd put a brown paper over them and cardboard on the floor. Curtains were drawn tightly closed. She changed all the decor. She was so strange, quite paranoid, unhinged she seemed to be. She came and whispered in my ear, "Your guests are stalking me." I made allowances for her. I knew she was upset. But time went on, and she got worse, thought everything was a threat. She stayed with me for 2 long months. I don't know where she went. She wouldn't tell for safety's sake. I hope she's found content.
Wow, beautiful read. And, I mean, you know, the life of a landlady has got not to be easy as portrayed in this poem. I mean, when you have tenants that live this kind of paranoid existence, that really is unsettling, I can imagine. So, but, you know, you can feel her empathy towards the woman in this right at the end. So just a beautiful storyline and fantastically read and written. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this was great. Wonderful read there, Robbie. I always enjoy Jabo's poetry. This has wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how she writes on her true-to-life stories, like things that actually happened, you know, and I can just imagine the shock of walking into somebody's room and finding, like, everything, just all mirrors covered up, you know, and just really intriguing and haunting and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think she was treated to the lodger from hell. I've had lodgers, and this one, fortunately, didn't destroy the place, didn't set fire to anything. But my lord, with cardboard on the floor and everything, and I can't imagine. And I was reading the Anne also, it happened exactly as she described. That's got to be a really creepy experience. Someone living in your home that basically you never see. And I've had that happen. I had a friend staying with me. She'd come home. She'd go in the bedroom. She'd shut the door. And that was the end of it. I never see her until the next morning. It was really, really strange. You feel like you're living alone, but you're not. You know? She's written about it beautifully, though. Very engaging.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. And PC, what are your thoughts?
Honestly, I don't know how to explain it. There was the thought, everything a threat. I have PTSD, and I understand that. I've been so afraid I've hid in my closet, like things I might think silly or other people were silly. So, while most people would take the perspective of the woman, the other individual, I would be the one perceiving everything. If I'm the other perspective, I'm the one perceiving the thought. I understand that, but the other perspective, the perspective everybody else probably sees, that's not how I see things. Like that would be me, the thought, everything a threat. So it's literally, I absolutely sure that most people don't feel that. I've been in isolation for decades, but for me, it's hard to focus on the poem because
when I read that, it actually triggered me. I started shutting down. I was like, man, I know how that feels. Just that little line is so impactful. It's very emotional. It carries a lot of emotional weight with it.
It's amazing how poetry affects everybody differently, depending on your circumstances. Great comment. Thank you.
I'm probably looking at a difference for perspective, but than everyone else, the way I heard the comments and stuff. But no, it's kind of strange. That's it. That's all I want to say on this one, please.
Thank you, PC. And Robbie, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Well, stylistically, there's a bit of an interesting juxtaposition because the subject matter is more dark. And but in terms of how it was written, it had that sing-songy fairy tale sort of rhythm to it, and that definitely created a sort of an interesting kind of not a paradox, but you know, like you kind of see the different sort of mirror of style and content in it, and. My ears perked up when Bobby was talking about her experience because I've been in that situation where, like, I look around the block and I say to myself, like, I never see any of my neighbors. They never come out. They are here, aren't they? You know, and you kind of wonder. Like, sometimes it could be just a fluke of the hours that everybody works. Like, you know, the people that maybe. There are people on night shift and they come in and when everybody else leaves and that, but especially like when you said, Bobby, like, you feel like you're living with people, but you're living by yourself. And that, I've definitely had that experience too. And it's a very odd experience. It's like, you're alone. You're not alone, but you are. And, even when you have like, shifts at work where you're the only worker, but there's customers in the store, but they're all like in a different section or something, you know. It made me kind of think of that too. It's like, because you're working and you're not alone in the strictest sense, but you do feel like you're alone because you're just working in your section and not many people are going by, and you know, you're working like a solo shift. So it kind of reminded me of that, sort of odd situation that Bobby had touched on.
Absolutely. Thank you, PC. I mean, thank you, Robbie. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by Jazz Karan, and he has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. There we go. singing and a fabulous poem. I really like this collaboration between Budo and Jaskaran. It's definitely a wonderful parody of Let It Be, and you can feel that in this music as well. So just a wonderful, wonderful song. What did you think, PC?
I see an evolution. It's a slow growth, but I don't know how to explain it. Like, I see like these breaths that turn into the clouds and the winds. There's this connection with the words, and they talk about the earth. I guess it's a grounding sense. I guess they're kind of grounding. They talk about the earth's flowering breath. Would that be like the flowers or something? It's real distinctive. It makes me think. I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm starting to wonder if I should go to bed. I think I burnt myself out. I think I'm gonna go, man. I don't want to disrespect anybody's poetry because I got tired. You guys have a good night.
Okay, well,
man.
Thank you for calling in, PC. I appreciate you.
Oh,
take care.
I had fun. I'm just tired. You have a good night. Bye bye.
You too. Bye bye. Okay, Robbie, what are your thoughts?
As with one or two other pieces here today, there was one particular part that captured my attention, and it was because I was contemplating this even just today earlier on. Like it says, embrace tenderness at nature's behest. Please honor thy best, honor thy best. And because I was thinking about how it's important to recognize the best part of yourself or recognize the efforts that you make, and not to discount that, not to dismiss it. And even as I speak that now, it reminds me of how you, like when you have a bad day, you know, we tend to focus on the negative, even if we had a lot of positive things. And I caught myself doing that even two or three weeks ago, where like the whole day was fantastic, but because of one event, I focused on that, but then I snapped out of it, right? But aside from that, overall with the poem or with the song, I like that the kind of this swaying back and forth of nature's rhythms was personified here, but that personification had, to my mind anyway, it kind of went hand in hand with, you know, the rhythms of life, like how life goes back and forth. And musically, I like the chord progressions with the guitar because sometimes the chord progressions can be very oversimplified, and it, you know, you're hearing just like basically one chord over and over again. But with the guitar, it was nicely balanced. It was enough variety in the chord progressions, the chords to keep your attention going.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Robbie. And thank you for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your voice, and most especially your time. Much love, poet.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.